There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla Dedessi right here at 1180 WFYL in the Philadelphia area. This is Your Family Matters. Thank you for joining me here this Friday and every Friday morning from 8 until 9. You can always go to 1180WFYL.com and listen and share my previous podcasts with Your Family Matters. You can also go to CarlaDedessi.com to follow my radio shows and also my children's book series. I had another email from a listener this week. This was a mom. Her name's Tara. She's a mom of a 6-year-old boy and a 10-year-old little girl. She emailed me this. She said, Carla, how do you have time in the morning before your children go to school to read or recite Ephesians 6, 10 through 18? Remember, you guys, we have been talking about putting on the full armor of God with our families, with our kids every morning before we all go our different ways. So she's asking me, how do you have time to read or recite Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 with your children, plus pray with your children, plus read books with your children, like Case for Christ? Please help. This is a great question. When you put it that way, I really am doing quite a bit with my kids in the morning, aren't I? You say that you just cannot find the time. First of all, Monday through Friday, before I put my kids out to school, I drop them off. I do make time to recite. We recite Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Some of you might be reciting other Bible verses, or you might be reading other Bible verses that are important to you. I have a friend that does Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name every morning before her kids are eating breakfast. But it really only takes 1 or 2 minutes, Tara, to recite 8 verses with your children, especially if they're 6 or 10 years old. And praying with my children. You know, sometimes I do not have time to pray because somebody forgot their sneakers for gym or I forgot to pack their lunches for school. But I always make sure that as we are taking that 2-minute drive, I only have a 2-minute drive to my children's school. Some of you might have a 10 or 15 minute drive. Then you can really pray a lot with your kids. But I will pray in the car as I'm driving the children to school if I forgot to do it when we were sitting in the house, when we were reciting. And Case for Christ, yes, I do read that with the kids probably 3 or 4 mornings a week before I get them in the car and I drop them off. And I do not read a whole entire chapter. Sometimes I just read 2 or 3 pages from it. But truly, my children are older. They're 14 and 12. At 7 o'clock in the morning with my 14 and 12-year-old, yes, I recite Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 with them. We pray for a couple of minutes, and then it only takes a couple of minutes to read from what I'm doing presently is Case for Christ. You can read any book that you wish to read that focuses your children on God, their Heavenly Father, is my recommendation. So I hope that that helps you. You know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I spend time with my 14 and 12-year-old, but then I drop them off, I come back home, and then at about 8 o'clock, I homeschool my 5th grader, my 10-year-old. Eventually, she'll be off to school with her sisters. But then I go through the same exact thing with Julia again. So yes, sometimes for those of us who have children that are on all different schedules, we are doing another morning time praying and reading our Bible or reading a little devotional to our children. Or again, at different times during the morning. And you know what, Tara? If this is the first time that you're instituting this in your home, I would really recommend that why don't you just pray with your kids before you drop them off at school or put them on the bus. Don't try to do too much. Just make sure that you're praying with your children, that they see you praying with them before you let them out away from you for the day. Or just recite Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Just do one or the other. Why don't you start out that way? And then maybe as things are moving forward and you're doing well, then add some of these other ideas, like a devotional book or reading Bible time stories with your kids. So I hope that that helped you this morning. Great question. And please keep your questions coming in. Go to CarlaDedessi.com and you can get in touch with me that way or on Facebook. So this morning, this whole week, I've been thinking about a lot of things that are happening in our country. Many times we ask this question, God, where are you? Don't you see what is happening here on earth? You know, we are reading and hearing about the Supreme Court judges who declared for our whole entire country that there is a new definition of marriage. They have taken this responsibility upon themselves.
to oust the thousands of year definition of marriage. This is unconstitutional. Where is God when these few men and women are making that decision? Recently, there are videos out showing babies' body parts being sold for as little as $75 a part. We are aborting and killing unborn babies. They do not have the same choice for life that many of us are given. Where is God? Recently, students are beginning their classes and a gunman comes in and he asks the students in the class, who are the Christians? And as the Christian stands up in their class, this gunman murders 9 Christians. Again, where is God? Let's take a look at ISIS killing Christians. Where is our God? This might be a question that we ask ourselves. Do you know that this was a question that King David asked also in the Old Testament? And I'd like to take a look this morning at his writings, King David's writings in the book of Psalms, which is right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. It is in the Old Testament. King David, you might think, had a very easy life because, after all, he was king of Israel. But he really did not have such an easy life. Often he had enemies chasing after him, wanted to kill him, and he was hiding in caves with his men for many years. And often he might have had the opportunity to say, where is God? Why aren't you protecting me? But we're going to take a look at what David wrote about in the Psalms, what he wrote about his God, his refuge, his salvation. But before we get started studying God's word together, let's just pray over our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you on this beautiful autumn morning, and we thank you for its beauty, and we thank you for the ability to breathe and have life. We thank you for these little things, Heavenly Father. And sometimes when we wonder where you are, some of our friends might be suffering illness, cancers, divorce, children that are wayward, addicted to drugs, and we're not sure where you are and if you're helping us. Heavenly Father, help us to believe in you in our unbelief. Help us to look to you. Please speak to us in our next hour together right here. We pray that we would be learning more about you, the one true God. In your precious and heavenly name, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a look at Psalm 11 this morning. This is a psalm that King David wrote, and he's talking about faith in the Lord's righteousness. So when we see a lot of unrighteousness happening around us, we still must cling to the Lord's righteousness. David says, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? This was a time when King David needed to identify if he was going to stand against his enemies, stand up, or if he was going to run away into the mountains. People hid in the mountains, even today, still in the Middle East. When people want to hide, they go to the mountains. Mountains provide safety for us. And that is the same thing that David was asking. Should I flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string. In the Old Testament, the wicked had bows and arrows. Today, the wicked have guns, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We do feel a little bit today, don't we, that the foundations of our very country and even the foundations of some of our churches and our beliefs are being destroyed. So what can we, the righteous, do? David was asking this 3,000 years ago. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. I want to take a look and go back to verse 4 in Psalm 11, where David says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men." David is recalling where God sits. God sits and sees everything. He's not asleep. He's not ignoring us. And he continues to say in verse 5, "The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates." The Lord hates violence. We are called to be peacemakers. You know something interesting as I was studying this? I was studying a lot of different websites and looking at this verse in particular, but I realized that the word Hamas, if you look it up in Hebrew and Arabic, it actually means violence. Hamas, who is causing a lot of commotion and disruption in the Middle East and really the whole entire world, and their hope is to disrupt a lot of Jews and Christians, our environments, and the way that we worship God, they want to bring violence to that and destruction. And isn't it interesting that Hamas actually means violence? King David says in Psalm 11, verse 5, "The Lord hates wickedness, and he hates those people who love violence. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone." Listen, we cannot hide from God. We cannot hide our sin from God. We cannot hide our evil from God. Yes, we are forgiven. We are forgiven by God's grace. And if we ask for that forgiveness, and if we are remorseful, he freely gives us that forgiveness. But there are always going to be consequences for the sin and the evil that we did. So keep that in mind when you are choosing a pathway between right and wrong. I believe that we all indeed do know what is right and wrong. We have been given a conscience by our Creator, by God. Let's go again to talk about what can the righteous do. Let's go back to verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? God brought this Bible verse to my mind. Because all of us are going through some kind of hardship. It might be a relationship that is not turning out the way that we wanted it to, whether it's relationship with a loved one or someone with whom we're working at on a nonprofit with or a committee or in our business or a friend or a family member or our husband or our wife. This is what James says in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." I know that that does not sound like a lot of fun to us. But when we are in various trials or temptations, or we feel as if we're being persecuted for some reason because our country is choosing a different definition of marriage than the one that we know is truth and light and God's way, or our country is choosing to give money to an organization that is aborting babies and an organization that is selling babies' body parts and is not doing a lot of good for women or society as a whole. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." And don't forget that Jesus Christ and Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, St. Paul, Timothy, they all went under persecution and they considered it pure joy. So that's what we are urged to do in James 1, verses 2 through 3. I also would like to talk a little bit about Psalm 9 in our Bibles, which also is giving prayer and thanksgiving for the Lord's righteous judgments. Remember, he is going to judge all of us. He must do that. He is a righteous, righteous God. But thankfully, he's going to be judging us on, do we accept the Messiah, his son, Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that question. Only I can answer that question. If we do accept his son, Jesus Christ, there's something called grace that he freely gives to us. And the Bible teaches us that he forgets our sins as far as the east is from the west. Isn't that wonderful that God sees us as pure and clean? That doesn't mean that you can go about doing whatever you wish to do. Remember, if we truly have a change of heart, we don't even want to do those old sinful things. In Psalm 9, this is what King David writes to us. Again, when he is going through persecution and he is going through a time where he is being sought after by his enemies, he is still thanking God. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence, for you have maintained my right and my cause. Isn't it wonderful that King David knew that it was God who was going to maintain and fight for him? God is going to fight for David's cause. David continues, "You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." I am so thankful that we have a God and we serve a creator who is righteous and just. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. It's my prayer that all of you who are listening have put your trust in God so that he will be your refuge in times of trouble. And for those of you who have already put your trust in God, take courage in this. Be encouraged and edified. God will do the battling for you. He will fight our battles. Lay down your battle and your burden at his feet. These battles that are happening in our country today, socially, spiritually, he sees all. He is just and he is righteous, and he will protect us. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. We can turn to God when we are pressed. Let's continue in verse 11 of Psalm 9. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death. How exciting, again, that David is remembering. Who is it that is going to deliver us? It is the Lord. Who is going to deliver us in our times of trouble? Whether you feel like you're being persecuted or whether people have done wrong to you. They are attacking God. They are attacking Jesus Christ. Don't look at it as they are attacking you. See it as they are attacking your Savior. Let's talk about a few objectives for your family. What do we do when our foundations are being destroyed? Just like King David said in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, he answers us right there in verse 7. He says, remember God. Remember him. God is righteous. He loves the righteous. That means that he loves you if you are doing righteousness. He dislikes and actually says he hates the unrighteous and the wicked and the violent. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Matthew says in chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. St. Matthew says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's not your husband, your wife, your pastor, your counselor, your psychologist, your mediator. That's not who's going to give you rest. God promises to give the weary and the burdened. What burdens are you carrying around today? All of us are carrying something around. I ask you to lay that down at the Savior's feet right now, this very minute, because he wants to give you rest. Matthew continues to say in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What an encouragement that is to even me, that Jesus Christ is saying to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We are to be gentle, humble of heart, and we will find rest. Do you want rest for your soul? We all want rest for our soul. That's almost a rhetorical question. Yes, we should all be saying yes. We want rest for our souls here in this earthly life, and of course in our afterlife in heaven forever and ever with our family and friends and those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Since God is in control, I will trust in Him. We must trust in Him. So teach your families that. Share with your little ones Bible stories of the greats. Again, King David, remind your children and your family that King David was chosen by God. But remember, King Saul was king at the time. And King Saul was very jealous of David because David killed Goliath. And for many years, it wasn't just a couple of months, it was years, 3, 4, 5 years. King Saul wanted to kill David, and everybody knew it. And in fact, David had to go into hiding. He was living like a refugee. He had no home. He was sleeping in caves. He was eating whatever he was able to get. And then God finally brought him back to his kingdom, and he had some times of peace. But remember, he chose to have many wives, and that is never God's way or God's plan. We never want to do that. And so that was something that he did not do God's way, and he had many wives, and this made all of his children fight with David, but amongst each other. And then for quite a while, his son Absalom wanted his throne, and King David was running away and hiding from his very own son. How sad is that? But it's such an encouragement that the greats of the Bible, like King David, they did not have what some might think is an easy life. But David did not turn his back on God. He always knew that God was there and that God would help him and save him. And he trusted and he waited and he was patient. And David had a humble heart. So this is what I want to urge you to share with your children. Talk to them, communicate these biblical truths to them. And when you are experiencing difficulties, mom and dad, grandparents, display this for your kids, that you are trusting in God. Let them see you praying and talking about trusting God and that God is your refuge and your strength. Most recently, I've been having a little bit of very minor battles with some pro-life experiences. And I've repeatedly said to the children, when I feel like I am being persecuted for my belief or the words that I am saying that we must be protecting life, and people mock me and they make fun of me and they say cruel things, God immediately reminds me that this pro-life battle is not mine to fight. It is His. Yes, He might be using some of us to fight His battles and we step out in obedience, but this is not my battle. It's His. I have to remember that. I have to lay all of my burdens down and I have to trust in Him. And I have to remember that these people who are saying that Planned Parenthood is helpful and it helps women and there's no one else there to help them and it's a really great organization and that Margaret Sanger is not a racist, that she was really a pioneer and a wonderful woman, and that we, the pro-life community, are saying things that are untruths when we know that we are saying things that indeed are truth. The other side, they're not lying about me. They're not lying about my pro-life friends. They are lying about Jesus Christ. They're lying about God. They're lying about life. So recall that when you are standing up for whatever it is in your own life, when you're standing up for righteousness and truth and light and nobility, whether it's something that's happening at your child's school or it's something that's happening in your children's youth group or it's something that's happening in your marriage, When you are being talked poorly about or mocked, they are mocking your Savior. They are mocking Jesus Christ. Remember, it's God's battle and not yours. I would like to conclude by reading Psalm 14, which is so exciting. And I want to leave you with this hope, this great hope. This is what King David is writing about the folly or foolishness of the godless and God's final triumph. So if you are on God's team, you are on God's side, then you have everything to gain and everything to celebrate. Be victorious, because this is what King David says about our God in Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. This is how we feel sometimes, right? In the 21st century, living here in the United States of America, this is how we feel, just like King David did 3,000-4,000 years ago. He felt the same way that we do today. Let's continue reading in verse 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. This is King David talking about the unalterable truth that when men deny the existence of God, wickedness and evil do prevail. Think about what is happening in our country this very day, whether it's with marriage, whether it's with family, whether it's with people trying to say that gender does not exist, whether it's with all of the abortion, 57 million and counting since 1973. These are all people who deny the existence of God. What happens to a society when we deny the existence of God? Wickedness and evil prevail. It happened in the Old Testament, in the Bible times, and it is and will happen today in our current modern age. Let's look at one final passage in 16. This is talking about the hope of the faithful and the Messiah's victory. So again, we have victory. God is faithful to us. King David says this, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." Listen, we do not put our trust in our government. We do not put our trust even in our families. We do not put our trust in the GOP race or even in the independents. Definitely not in the Democrats as far as I see it. We put our trust in God. Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. King David did have peers who were around him, who were urging him to be more godly. Who are the people that you are surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with saints who are here on this earth, who are edifying you and who are pointing you in the direction of truth? King David continues, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot." God is maintaining our lot. No one else. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. God is going to take care of us. We have a good inheritance. If not now on this earth, it is waiting for us for all of eternity. And this earth, this life is so brief. It's a vapor. It's a breath. It's here today. It is gone tomorrow. That is so very factual. For the person that says that my words are not true, you're going to have to fight against the Bible. In fact, this is reminding me of another Bible passage that was actually written by King David, I think. And I wasn't going to share this with you, but how can I not at this exact moment? And I believe it's Psalm 103, where King David is writing again, and he's saying, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name." David continues a little further down in verse 14. He says, "For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and we die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we never existed, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to his children and his children's children." So indeed, life is so short. "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." King David had such a beautiful way with words. Truly, he was not just a king, a shepherd. What a poet he was. I urge you to go and read all of the Psalms. There are, I believe, 140 Psalms in the Bible, over 140 Psalms. I believe that you will find refreshment for your soul and encouragement, as King David will point and does point all of us to God as our refuge. He is a just and righteous judge. He is our protection, our fortress. So let him carry the burden that you've been carrying around today. He is there. When you think, "God, where are you?" When these terrible things are happening, you watch them on the news this evening, I urge you to go to Psalms and read it and find joy and victory there. We should be joyful as Christians. We should be victorious. Remember again that God is on our side and he sent us a Messiah in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today on Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL with me, Carla Dedessi. Again, please check out my website at carladedessi.com and my Facebook page to follow my radio shows as well as my children's books. Check out all of my podcasts at 1180wfyl.com. And please stay right here for 10 minutes with Nancy Houston Hansen of the Capstone Legacy Foundation. Have an awesome week, and I will see you here again next Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Remember, God is here. He sees everything. He's sitting in the heavens, and he is a just and righteous judge. He sees everything that's happening. Do not be discouraged.
Building off of Carla's discussion about God, where are you? I'm Nancy Houston Hansen of the Capstone Legacy Foundation, and I have with me Merle Steiner, our legal counsel. Welcome, Merle. And we're just talking about times that we're in, like these times today, that have a lot of uncertainty, and particularly where Christians are feeling themselves kind of at the other end of a growing situation that is making it more difficult for Christians to identify themselves and feel safe in some areas. That really had a lot to do with God forming Capstone Legacy Foundation, because he is our capstone. He is the finished work of his Father, who sent him to be the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who has given us the ability to come in access to the Holy of Holies under the blood because of the cross and what he has done for us, and in the power and person work of the companion who has been given to us, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we feel that God has given us a call to be there for the body of Christ and for all those who affirm the biblical values for which he proclaimed and for which we have committed ourselves to support and to stand for, because we do have a commitment to people who really want to leave a legacy now and in the future by giving funds, presenting funds to ministries, to services that are benefiting the community in a positive and biblical sense. So we're here to talk about that, and we're here to talk about some of the services that Capstone offers, and we're here to help you navigate through the process of charitable giving, because some people know what they want to give, but they're not sure how to give or what are some good solutions that are available for them. And we have those as well, which Merle will be talking about in just a few minutes. One of the things that we really do like to help people with is education. If there's anything that people who are listening want to give and you're just not sure what is the best tool to use or what kind of things that will help you support the people that you want to undergird, we have a variety of ways we can help you with that. We have an administrative back office support system so that the giving process is easier and freer of hassles. We take care of paperwork, tax filing, legal issues, and writing checks so that donors can think about giving and grants they want to give instead of the time-consuming administration and frustration, because there are 990s that have to be filled out at the end of every year. They're just things that have to be done. And Merle, who you'll be listening to, is our legal counsel who helps people work through things that have more complexity in them. So there's a variety of things that we will be sharing today and for days to come. And so at this point, I will introduce Merle, who will be introducing some of those concepts to you. Thank you, Merle.
Thank you. One of the types of assets that are particularly useful for charitable purposes are non-liquid assets. They're a great option for charitable giving. Non-liquid gifts are assets that are not currently liquid in nature. They are not reduced to cash. And through Capstone, they can be liquidated into a fund, typically a donor-advised fund, to accomplish charitable giving objectives. Non-liquid assets include real estate, closely held business interests such as S Corporation stock, C Corporation stock, limited liability company interests, or limited partnership interests. Also promissory notes or loan notes, and tangible personal property such as art, jewelry, artifacts, cars, boats, and other personal assets such as collectibles, sports memorabilia, and that type of thing. Often people don't realize the amount of value that is held in these types of non-liquid assets, which may have appreciated considerably over time, such as a piece of art. The benefits of giving non-liquid assets include fair market value income tax deduction. It eliminates the capital gains tax on the sale of assets, frees up the current cash flow through reduction of tax liability, and reduces estate tax liability, and ultimately more money goes to charities. Many people, when they think about charitable giving, only look at their cash holdings, but that's typically only 10% of what they own. Most of their holdings are in non-liquid assets, typically averaging about 90%.
Well, I'd like to ask a question. If I were sitting at the other end of the radio, I'd kind of heard you say loan notes, and I just wondered if there's some people who are out there thinking loan notes. How do you use those as a giving tool? How do you work with that?
Well, promissory notes and loan notes typically may not be mature, or they may be considerably distant from maturity, so that they cannot be liquidated at their face value. So when they are donated to a charity, the charity can either hold those notes until liquidation, until the full face amount of the note is realized, or they can sell those notes to others who would hold them to maturity. And in that sale, there's typically a discount to the face value, but the note can still be liquidated, and the amount of capital appreciation to that date can still be realized as a tax write-off.
Yeah, because they're going to a 501c3 instead of going back to any other kind of an entity, right?
Yes, that's right.
Because I think those things are interesting, and I don't think people really realize how they can use that kind of a vehicle and have it benefit a tax-deductible issue at the same time while they're deciding how they're going to finalize the payment of that. Mm-hmm. If it's held in a 501c3, how do they handle continuing to pay off that note, that promissory note?
Well, typically the note could have a current payment liability, but it also could have been paid off initially. If it has a current payment liability, the person can keep paying on the note as a charitable deduction, or the charity itself can make arrangements to have the note continue to be paid and made current.
Interesting. And then I think you were going to talk also about some businesses and things that people could do with those kind of assets that can help in giving.
Yes, there can be a real tax advantage to using your business or a portion of your business as an engine for Christian ministries through a 501c3 like Capstone. You can do this by contributing a portion of the annual income or all of the annual income of the company as stock interest in the company to the charity. This will allow you to have certain benefits, including such things as paying no estate tax on the value of the business later, maximizing your charitable donation income tax deduction, which can be 100% of the fair market value of the company, mm-hmm. up to the 30% of your adjusted gross income in the year of the gift. And then you could have a carry forward for up to 5 years for any unused deduction. You can avoid capital gains tax on the sale of the business. And you wouldn't need to use any personal cash in funding the donation of the business. You can do this through a charitable trust set up by Capstone. The annual income on the business operations will be taxed at a more advantageous rate with the company owned by the trust, which is a supporting organization of Capstone. The company would operate under a board that would be controlled by Capstone, but the company controls all the voting stock in the company, so there would be no change in the voting control of your company. It would just be the equity interest in the company. And Capstone will provide administrative support to conduct all the business of the trust and at the corporate level of the company if necessary, including but not limited to tax returns, annual audits, and charitable donations. So there's a lot of advantages to using your business, particularly the annual income on your business, as an engine for charitable purposes and Christian ministries.
That goes into a donor advice fund, and then they mm-hmm. can give it out. So we have some people who are doing this, and it's really a benefit because Capstone has in this case, 99% of non-voting stock, and the person involved has a share of voting stock, so they can continue to run the company. But as the monies come in
as the value of the company increases, that capital appreciation can be part of the charitable gift.
And so instead of accruing to the bottom line of the person that has it, it can be put off into the donor advised fund, which gives a healthy tax deduction. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful way to work. Well, we have other things that we will be sharing with you. If you'd like to contact us, please feel free to call us at 610-688-8890 or through our website, www.capstonelegacy.org. We are located 900 West Valley Road, Suite 203 in Wayne, Pennsylvania. But we are coming to the end of today, and it's been wonderful visiting with you. We hope that this has been helpful for you, and we just ask that you will be blessed, and so will your charitable thoughts and giving. May God bless you and yours.
There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
James Monroe once said, "National honor is the national property of the highest value."